You're listening to Classical 95.9, WCRI Block Island, Exeter, the classical station.
Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project. And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments. From sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more, Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. And a pleasant evening is going to be in store for all of us, I believe, because we have a return guest, an author, genuine good guy, and I say that because he just seems like a good guy. Please welcome Tim Lehnert. Yay! The studio audience is all excited that you're here.
Thank you. That's a very nice advance billing. Thank you, Mike. To another genuine good guy.
All right. Tim is the author of Rhode Island 101. And Tim, we had you here several months back. Oh, well, geez. 8 or 9 months, I guess it's been.
Yes. I was sweating. I think it was August. And I remember getting here just dripping wet, not because of rain, but due to
Excessive heat, right. Yes. Well, things are a little different this time of year, but we welcome you back nonetheless. And give us a little update. A lot of things have happened as far as Rhode Island 101. You're a bestseller now.
That's what I hear. The thing is, of course, you have to put that in a little bit of parentheses because, you know, it's a small field. So to be a bestseller, I suppose, is relatively, it's easier, let's say, than to be a national bestseller. But yes, the book has done well lately. And as a Rhode Island title, it's done quite well. So
That's great. It's a very interesting book. I've had the pleasure of reading it. And I remember when you were here last time, I found out all kinds of great little tidbits about the wonderful state of Rhode Island. And just as a little background on you, tell us how this came about back several years ago when this first came up.
Well, I was, I'm a local writer, so I'm a freelance writer for newspapers and magazines. I do some work for a law firm, so I'm kind of in the business, and I was doing some work for the publisher of this book, editing some of their other guides, and they are in Canada, and they wanted to go into the United States, and I said, of course, the first place you should go is Rhode Island.
Of course.
And that just so happened to be that I live here, and suggested they do a Rhode Island 101, and that's how it
That's how it all started.
Right. I more or less insisted that we do a Rhode Island 101.
Now, just so people don't think you're strictly a homer and you only do Rhode Island stuff, right. You told me before the show this evening that the project you're currently working on is probably 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 miles from here.
Yes. It is the Soul Book of Everything, which is a similar format, you know, a little bit of everything, lots of lists, lots of fun things on Seoul, Korea.
Korea. Yeah,
and that's something we're doing for the Seoul Tourism Organization. Now, I'm not entirely writing that. I've written some of it, but I got writers over there, mostly American expats who live there, to write it, and I kind of edited it and put it together and oversaw it.
So if someone is planning a trip to Korea,
you're planning a trip to Korea, it's going to be out. It's going to be out in a few weeks, and it's called The Soul Book of Everything.
Oh, that's great. And other things that you've been involved with have struck an interest. I know when we talked last time, there's been lots of projects, as you said, that you've had over your writing career. But we specifically want to talk about RI 101 here. And we covered some things last time, like the Warwick Musical Theater, and we talked about some different places in Westerly and Providence, burial grounds, all kinds of things in this book. When someone asks you, what is the book about, do you have a standard answer?
No, other than to say it's a little bit of everything. The idea is to give a survey across a range of topics, so just, you know, ranging from the history to the natural world, some of the city stuff, some of the famous sites, but it's not a guidebook in the sense it doesn't have hotels and restaurant listings, that type of thing. So it's a little bit of a, you know, like if you call it trivia, reference,
compilation
fun stories.
Other writers, right?
Exactly. And I get a lot of guest stars. I mean, there's actually 26 of them. So, for instance, in the crime chapter, I have Arlene Violet gives her five memorable moments from her time as Attorney General.
Uh-huh.
And I also got Zachary Malinowski of the Providence Journal. He gave something a little less savory, which was five famous mob hits. He's the okay. crime reporter for one of the crime reporters for the Journal. So I went to, on these different topics, I went to various local experts and, you know, asked them, here, give me a list of five on this or that. And that's how it came together. So it ranges across a whole bunch of things and doesn't try to go in depth in any one, but rather just kind of pull out a lot of interesting facts, anecdotes.
And as far as we know, everything in here is factual. I mean, these are not guesses at things.
These are not guesses. I mean, sometimes there's a bit of legend. I try to in some of these things to get it from a few sources. So I'm always worried when you hear these sort of bogus stats or urban mm-hmm. legends that are repeated, not to just keep repeating them.
Right.
Again and again. But, they're of course, and you can always give yourself a little wiggle room by saying allegedly or legend right. has it that.
For many, many years, we used to tout the State House as the largest unsupported dome in the
right.
world.
Right.
And that isn't exactly true, as we found out in later years. It's
right.
like the third or fourth.
I think I have it as the fourth. It is right. the fourth. Right. And it's, I think, behind the Minnesota Capitol building, the mm-hmm. Taj Mahal in St. Peter's. Which is pretty good company, I think. There's nothing wrong with being fourth if those are numbers 1, 2, and 3.
That's right. Now, putting together music for this program, because normally we have quite a bit of music involved with conducting conversations, was a little bit of a challenge today, because Tim's book is obviously, there's nothing particularly musical about the book.
Although, I would even say maybe even music sort of gets slightly short shrift, I think. I think if, when you do a second edition, I think we're going to have to beef it up.
We'll have to beef up the music.
Yes.
So we decided we'd do some tie-ins, and some of them are pretty loose tie-ins, but in putting this show together, Tim said to me, maybe we should play Rhode Island Is Famous for You, and I said, have I got a deal for you? As most of you know, I sing, and I am a member of the Narragansett Bay Chorus in Providence. And we have a version of Rhode Island Is Famous for You that gets played on other radio programs, believe it or not, quite frequently. There's an ex-mayor that has a radio show in Rhode Island, and he uses this on his broadcast quite often. So if you recognize it, that could be why. Here we go with Narragansett Bay Chorus's version of Rhode Island Is Famous for You.
Every state has something its Rotary Club can boast of.
Was the Narragansett Bay Chorus, and that was a great opportunity to get a little plug in there for us.
Great.
So now we travel to another part of the state that's probably pretty famous. As I travel around the country, people find out I'm from Rhode Island. Almost everyone talks about Newport. Now, there's quite a few things in your book about Newport as far as mansions and things like that that are pretty well covered, right?
Sure.
Covered as far as other media and so forth talk about that. So you don't spend a lot of time on that particular
segment. No, we have a brief little list on the mansions. And we have, there's a section called Cities and Towns with just a little rundown on every city and town population. And we do two big ones, which is Newport and Providence. So it's a little sort of capsule history of Newport. And I, you know, a lot of stuff I learned that I didn't know, just that very important place early on in the Union. You know,
sure,
very significant city. You know,
served as a capital of Rhode Island for a while, and went back and forth. There was actually, as I recall, Newport and Providence were co-capitals.
Co-capitals. Yeah, at one point there was five actually, and then it got reduced to two, and they were co-capitals. And I don't know. I can't remember the year when Providence won out.
We took care of them.
Yeah, but there was a certain point where it was only, I think, around 1800 that Providence passed Newport as Rhode Island's largest city. Up until that point, Newport was the big fish,
that.
You know, and it was quite a prosperous port. And, you know, this preceded, of course, the mansions, which was obviously wealthy people from outside the state who really who built those. But this was when Newport was really a thriving entity itself. Now, yes, 1800, Providence passed Newport.
1800, and one of the things about Newport that's in the news right now is that we are actively trying to get back the America's Cup.
Yes.
To come return to Rhode Island waters. That would be great if that happens. As most of our listeners know, America won the Cup back in Spain just a couple weeks back, and now the move is on to see whether it's going to be in San Francisco, San Diego, or in beautiful downtown Newport.
Right, and we know what the correct choice would be.
Absolutely. Yep. So we'll send a message out to Oracle and tell them to get their act together. But other Newport things is, as far as music is concerned, is the Newport Music Festival.
Right, of course. And I think, that's something, as you mentioned, I think, you know, when you go outside the state, sometimes people's knowledge of Rhode Island is a little hazy, but pretty much everybody knows the Newport Jazz and folk festivals.
Newport Jazz and Folk Festival are huge, along with the classical music festival that runs, that we're involved with, the Newport Music Festival, with Dr. Malkovich running that. So lots of things going on musically in Newport. And you brought an interesting recording. This is tell us about that.
Nothing that special. I mean, it's it's fine for me to say. I mean, Pete Seeger would probably disagree, but it's a Pete Seeger song. And the reason I picked it is because he's one of the founders of the Newport Folk Festival, and it is taken from an album called Live at Newport. So that's specifically why I thought this would be a good one to share.
All right, we'll play that, and then we'll get in a little more detail of the book when we come back. So here we go with Pete Seeger singing old
Joe Clark, "Oh, I Had a Golden Thread."
Show my brothers and sisters. My rainbow design. Bind up this sorry world with hand and heart and mind.
Tim, your book is divided, obviously, into chapters, and there's lots of interesting chapters. One of them is called People, right? And
yes.
Tell us how that came about or what you've got in there.
It's essentially an ethnicity chapter, and as you know, Rhode Island has always been a very strong immigrant state, always had a large immigrant population, continues to this day, and it just covers some of the larger immigrant groups, starting with the Irish and other groups in the state as well, African Americans, who I don't really count as a traditional immigrant group because their forefathers were brought here against their will. But African-American Rhode Island is in there. And some of the traditional immigrant groups, Irish, of course, is big in Rhode Island, Italian, Portuguese, French-Canadian, and some others.
Now, with all of those groups kind of being, you know, one big melting pot here, we've had some interesting, you know, people around the country again talk about Rhode Island. Usually it's, hey, how you doing? You know, is that kind of thing going on?
Did I not say Italian?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, I did.
Yeah,
okay, sorry.
Yeah, you did say Italian. I just want to make sure.
Okay, good. Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But the Irish are certainly an important part of it. And we have an interesting musical group that kind of represents Irish music in Rhode Island. And that's called Pendragon. And Pendragon has been on our show before, celebrated their 25th year together, which is kind of amazing. Mm-hmm. So I thought it would be neat if we close out this first segment with a little Pendragon music. But before we do that, I just want to get the message out to people. If they're interested in getting RI 101 yes. or Rhode Island 101, how do they do that? How do they go about that?
Pretty easy. Most bookstores in the state have it. You know, so Borders, Barnes & Noble, local independents. If you've got one in your city or town, I urge you to support it. And it's also available online. And I don't sell them on my website, but I do have a list of places that do sell it. And my website is timlehnertonline.com. That's just my name, T-I-M-L-E-H-N-E-R-T, online.com.
Online.com.
Yep.
.com. All right, great. All right, now we'll listen to Pendragon, and we'll listen to a portion of this tune, which they've got on their CD, called Loch Tay Boat Song. And then we'll be back with more of Rhode Island 101.
When I've done the work of day and I row my boat away down the waters of Loch Tay, where the
The people at Roberts Musical Instruments know there are many folks out there who, like them, are passionate about music. They know because they are musicians. They teach, listen, repair instruments, and take the time to learn who their customers are. So when you step into Roberts Musical Instruments at Quaker Valley Plaza in West Warwick, you can expect to receive the very best in service and selection. Whether it be a piece of sheet music, a name brand instrument, a rental, a lesson, the right accessory, or an on-site repair, when it comes to all matters of music, you should tune into Roberts Musical Instruments. Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. We are talking about the book Rhode Island 101. The author is here with us this evening, Tim Lehnert. And Tim, it's a book filled with very, very interesting things, very interesting facts. If you like me, you just love this kind of thing. And we had just finished with a segment about immigration and the Irish population. And you have a little bit more on that?
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to mention, especially since St. Patrick's Day is coming up, as I mentioned, one of the things I do in the book is I go to various experts and ask them for a list. So I asked Scott Molloy, who some of your listeners may know. He's a writer, a labor historian at University of Rhode Island, and he writes a lot on, of course, labor history, but also the Irish in Rhode Island. And he wrote a book. He actually used to be a RIPTA bus driver. Hmm. And so he's written on the history of mass transportation in Rhode Island. Very interested in that subject. But he also wrote a book on Joseph Bannigan, who was kind of a titan, industrial titan in the 1800s, which isn't that rare, except most of the industrial titans back then were the Yankees. And he was sort of a rare Irish immigrant who, you know, clawed his way to the top. And I asked him for five famous Irish-American Rhode Islanders, and he gave me Joseph Bannigan. And then I won't give you all five, but two contemporary ones are Patrick Connolly, who's another historian, a lawyer, and real estate developer, who's somebody who I don't know where this guy sleeps, because he's a developer, he's an attorney, and he's written, you know, dozens of books on Rhode Island, history books. I mean, really amazing. He used to teach at Providence College. And then Arlene Violet, who pops up again, at this time on somebody else's list rather than her own, and she was, of course, Attorney General and a well-known radio talk show host.
I didn't realize she was Irish.
Well, there you go. See, anyway, she was a member of the Sisters of Mercy, Catholic order. So right. I don't know if they have a particularly Irish tie-in, maybe not. But
well,
in any
we'll
case,
find out. We'll get her on the show and we'll ask.
Have her in. Right. You know, we'll do that. She's good. I've heard she's good on the radio. I mean, she's, you know, so.
All right. One of the other things that we want to touch on are some of the theaters in the state. And I know last time we talked about quite a bit about the Warwick Musical Theater, so we kind of covered that, but other theaters that might have a little bit of mention in your book.
Right. And then sometimes, you know, I just sort of took a liberty, maybe more for the uninitiated, to just make one thing that goes throughout the book is this theme of lists of five. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes I ask somebody for a list of five. Other times I just put out a list of five. You know, so I, for instance, did top five Rhode Island theater buildings. Now, of course, this is debatable, but okay. I just threw five out there. And sometimes other ones are covered elsewhere in the book so as not to repeat. And, you know, so I had PPAC, which, of course, everybody knows. Stadium Theater, and you can tell me which of these you've performed at, maybe all of them.
Okay. So far, two for two.
So far, you've got the PPAC, Stadium Theater, Woonsocket.
Yeah.
Yes. Jane Pickens Theater and Event Center, Newport.
Yes.
Sir. I'm sure that one. Granite Theater, Westerly.
Yeah.
Yep. And the GAM Theater, Pawtucket Armory Annex.
I have not.
You have not. And I think it's more because it's more of a theater.
Right.
I don't know if they have. Do they have concerts there?
I don't know that they do.
I don't think so.
But I'm
so,
sure they'll let us know if they do.
Exactly. If they did, you would have been there. You would have been there. So this is one where I should have got Mike actually to give us the list.
Well, there are a lot of great theaters in the state. And a brand new one, which we've featured on the show a couple times already, which is called the Rhode Island Center for the Performing Arts. And that's in Cranston at the old Park Theater. It's been completely refurbished and a beautiful building. You've been there, right?
I've been there, and it is a walking distance from my house. And I used to go past it. It was under construction for, and it has been about anywhere from 6 or 7 years. It was
That's
under
right,
construction.
Yeah, yeah.
And finally, they got it up and running late last fall. And it's a very nice theater. They had to completely redo the entire space. It's got a bar in front and a little cafe. But the actual theater, I think it seats around 1,000.
Right, about 1,000.
And it's quite nice.
They even added a balcony into the place. It's, it's beautifully done.
Yep,
and
very nice.
If you haven't had a chance to take it in yet, do that. We're going to play a piece of music now that kind of ties into that a little bit. A couple weeks ago, they had John Pizzarelli at the theater, and Ron Murray was also playing on that show. And Ron Murray is a man that we've had on our show conducting conversations before. So we'll play a piece of his called Brazilian Flower. This is from Ron's CD. And then we'll be back with more of RI 101. Lots of places in your book. You have a section of restaurants, diners, places like that, right?
Yes.
You're talking about?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Sure. And like I said, I mean, this isn't a restaurant guide per se, but there are a couple of lists in here. I had Jeanette Rodriguez, who writes for The Phoenix, and Edible Roadie. She gave me a list on essential roadie foods and where to get them. And I asked Richard Gutman, and he's the director and curator of the Culinary Arts Museum at Johnson and Wales University. And he's kind of a diner expert. He's written a couple of books on diners. So I said, you know, give me five Rhode Island diners.
All right, let me see how many diners I've been to. You name
these,
them
These
off,
are the though. Five, okay?
All right, here we go.
Haven Brothers Diner.
Absolutely. Okay. Right in downtown, right next to City Hall.
Right.
Used to be a horse-drawn vehicle, and then they changed it over to a truck.
Yes, and of course, as you know, it leaves every...
Every day.
Every day it leaves.
In the daylight.
I guess it comes at about 4 or 5 in the afternoon, I think.
Yeah, I think it comes, yeah.
And parks until... I don't know.
I think it's a dark thing.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, I mean, I think there's this story, maybe apocryphal, about the kid who goes there, you know, and says, yeah, we went to this great diner. It was really good last night. It's fantastic. Let me take you there. And the next day we'll go for lunch. You know, I could swear it was here. It was here. It was here. I was here, you know, and of course it actually was there and it moved.
A great Rhode Island landmark. I found it interesting that, you know, it's such a landmark that I was actually at Greg's Restaurant, which is a very popular chain in Rhode Island. And they have a great menu at Greg's, and with pictures of some of the things around the state, like Water Fire and the state capitol and things like that. And there was a picture of the Haven Brothers Diner in the Greg's menu.
In Greg's, right.
So, you know, so that's a real landmark.
Exactly.
Another restaurant.
It's funny because right opposite this list, on the opposite page, I have a little mini list, local family restaurant chains, you know. And so that's got Greg's is in there. It's got four locations, Cello's. Newport Creamery.
Yeah, so great. There too all certainly changed. Okay, with diners, where were we?
Okay, so we have Haven Brothers. Yep. The Modern Diner, and this is at 364 East Avenue in Pawtucket. That's
Absolutely.
The old diner that was moved there. I'm not sure when, but...
It's a beautiful place.
Yep.
It's always packed.
Yep.
You don't want to go there for a quick snack. You got to be ready to wait. Kind of like the Twin Oaks of diners.
Exactly. Right. Number three is the Seaplane Diner, and this is on Allen's Ave, and this is right across from the Port of Providence.
Yeah.
And I was just there a few weeks ago, actually. Yeah. You've been?
I have been there, too, many times. Yeah. And this one, I go to the next one, I know you're going to mention Bishop's.
Bishop's 4th Street Diner,
I've been there a lot.
Really?
Newport.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a great spot in Newport, just after you come off the bridge.
Exactly. It's right at the rotary there, and it's actually not on, this is sort of a typical Rhode Island thing. do not drive to 4th Street looking for Bishop's 4th Street Diner. No. As tempting as that might be and as logical as that might sound, you will not find it. It's on 184 Admiral Kalbfus Road, Newport, right on the Rotary off the bridge.
There,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. And then number 5 is the Liberty Elm on Elmwood Avenue.
And that's I have not been to that one.
And that is quite good. And I think they're still going. I remember I saw something in the paper a while ago where they had a bit of tax problems. I hope they're still going because it's a very nice place. And they have, the food is actually, I think, tends to be healthier than most diner food. I mean, it's got a similar ambiance, but I think they tend to go with a little more.
Go on the healthy side.
A little on the healthy side without being not obnoxiously healthy. Still
right.
Good. Still diner food, but but going towards a little healthier. It's a very good place.
All right, great. We're going to go from diners, and since we talked about Haven Brothers and Providence, this is my tie-in. This is how I segue into things.
Yes, yes.
Providence, Haven Brothers. So what do we do? Go from there from music? Providence Singers,
Providence
of course.
Singers, naturally.
Andrew Clark and the Providence Singers have been on Conducting Conversations many times, and we're going to play a cut from their CD, The Prairie. We'll listen to a portion of this and then come back with more of Conducting Conversations and Tim Lehner. People at Roberts Musical Instruments know there are many folks out there who, like them, are passionate about music. They know because they are musicians. They teach, listen, repair instruments, and take the time to learn who their customers are. So when you step into Roberts Musical Instruments at Quaker Valley Plaza in West Warwick, you can expect to receive the very best in service and selection. Whether it be a piece of sheet music, a name brand instrument, a rental, a lesson, the right accessory, or an on-site repair, when it comes to all matters of music, you should tune into Roberts Musical Instruments. Welcome back to Conducting Conversations, and we're having a very pleasant evening talking about things Rhode Island with the author of Rhode Island 101, Tim Lehnert. And Tim has been talking about all kinds of different things that are in his book, and obviously you have to buy the book to get all the details.
That's right.
But we're going to talk now about a section that you have called Wildlife.
Yeah, it's actually called the Natural World.
So the Natural World.
Yeah, sorry,
okay.
The wildlife is in it. And that's just some of the, you know, the trees and the the natural aspects of Rhode Island. And I asked Todd McLeish, who is a science writer at the University of Rhode Island. He's written a couple of books, most recently, Basking with Horseshoes, Tracking Threatened Marine Life in New England Waters. So I said, give me some examples of rare Rhode Island wildlife. And so he gave me five, and these are, of course, ones that are going to be very difficult to find. And I will just tell you one of them, because I don't want to steal Todd's thunder, and it is the eastern spadefoot toad.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, naturally, naturally. And I know you're, and I mentioned this specifically because it is in this listening area. And
really?
It is a South County animal.
So it's near our studios in beautiful downtown Exeter, Rhode Island.
Exactly, exactly. Right. In bustling Exeter, you can find the eastern spadefoot toad. And I'll just read to you what he wrote. The rarest amphibian in the region, the eastern spadefoot toad, lives in underground burrows in open forests or shrubland. The eastern spadefoot comes out to feed only after dark and is a homebody, rarely traveling more than 100 feet in its entire lifetime. The best place to find this secretive creature is in the watershed of the Wood River in Hopkinton and Richmond.
Wow, not too far from here at all.
I was going to say maybe this is a metaphor for Rhode Island. It rarely travels more than 100 feet in its lifetime. You know?
As most Rhode Island residents.
That's exactly right. You know, so if you could switch the feet for miles, I think you could get pretty close.
Yeah, I'm sure you'd be very close. I'm very close. I'm sure most Rhode Islanders don't go 100 miles.
No, home, no. Right? Who needs to?
That's right.
Well, yeah. What's out there? You know, it's all, you've got it all here. I mean, you don't need, right. You know, who needs to go beyond the state's borders? I mean, we'll get mixed up out there for.
Well, trying to tie that into music, I have an interesting CD in my collection. It's called Working in Harmony for Home and Hearth, and it's put together by Habitat for Humanity of Rhode Island and Notable Works Publications. And there's a whole pile of people on this CD that have Rhode Island connections. And the first cut on here is by Bill Harley, who is a Grammy Award winner from this area. He's not actually a Rhode Islander, but he's close.
I think, you know, he plays in Rhode Island. I think he technically lives in Seekonk, but
we'll give him credit.
That is really Rhode Island. And I know he performs a lot in Rhode Island, and he does stuff for Rhode Island. He obviously does stuff for Habitat and Humanity. I know he's a big supporter of the Rhode Island Food Bank and other things. So I think he certainly qualifies without stretching things too far at all.
Well, then we'll play this cut of his off this album, and it's called Enough is a Feast.
I sat at the table, I ate my meal, I asked my stomach, how do you feel? It told me I'm full. I said, are you sure? It said you'll get fat if you eat any more. Enough is a feast, enough is a feast. Take what you need, save some for the least. Save some for the least that stand at the door. Enough is a feast, you don't need any more. I swear that it's wrong, I think it ain't right, that a billion folks go to bed hungry each night. Some scrounge at the bottom, some lounge at the top. I think it's crazy, I wish it would stop. Some folks drive around in big Cadillacs, while others walk around with just a shirt on their backs. Some live in mansions, some live in huts. When aliens visit, they must think we're all nuts. Enough is a feast, enough is a feast. Take what you need, save some for the least. Save some for the least that stand at the door. Enough is a feast, you don't need any more. President says the economy's slack, so they've got to give rich people their money back. But I smell a rat, I know a scam. What kind of a dummy does he think I am? Enough is a feast, enough is a feast. Take what you need, save some for the least. Save some for the least that stand at the door. Enough is a feast, you don't need any more.
So there was a little Bill Harley for you, and now we're going to go to a chapter called Then and Now. Tell us about that.
Well, it's sort of a history chapter. I mean, some of it is really more, like I mentioned a few of the, and when I say I mention these events, I mean, we're talking a few paragraphs just because of the trying to pack 13 chapters into about 248 pages. Everything gets, I guess you could say short shrift, or it depends how you look at it, or I get to the nitty gritty right away.
And right, cut you get to the meat of it.
So a little, I talked about the Depression and World War II, and then some other things, the advent of the automobile in Rhode Island, and some what you might call almost people's history type thing. And in regards to World War II, I mean, it's a kind of a fascinating period, I think, for Rhode Island, just because obviously it had a huge effect on the entire world. Not just the United States, but specifically here, very significant not only for the people who served, but also the local population, because there's a lot of wartime production here.
Sure, because of the Navy Yards and Quonset in particular, the Seabees and so forth.
And then in addition to the Seabees and the famous Quonset Hut, there was also the shipbuilding, the Cranston-Providence line. So that was, it was just a very large number of people. At Fields Point is what I was looking for. 1945, they employed over 21,000 people at that facility. So that's a, you know, that's a population of Coventry or something like that, just building, just building ships. So, you know, it was very significant. And then also the people who came to Rhode Island from other states in the Union who were deployed from here. Mm-hmm. So it was a really a very actually important place.
Sure.
During the war.
Well, the Navy obviously in Newport, and still to this day with Newport, the War College there, and so forth.
Yes.
So the World War II was an important factor, and a lot of history, I'm sure. So some great things in the book about that. Now, one of the things we want to remind everybody: the book is entitled Rhode Island 101, and it is available at bookstores near you. And if you happen to be in the Westerly area or anywhere in the South County, Rhode Island. The Other Tiger Bookstore, which is a supporter of WCRI, Classical Radio, they carry it. And I'm sure lots of other independent bookstores, too.
Yes.
And if they want to go online to get places they can find it, they go to your website.
You go to my website. TimLehnertOnline.com. And it's my name, which is TimLehnertOnline.com.
Great.
And I have you can get a free chapter there. The Essentials chapter is there for your perusal.
Look at that. You don't even have
to. You can stop there with what I've said today and reading the Essentials chapter. And if you went back to last August, you're like, you're wasting your money if you were to buy this book because you've got it all.
It's definitely not a waste of money. As a matter of fact, if you'd like to win a book autographed by Tim, what we do is sometimes give away tickets and so forth. Well, we're going to give away a book. So if you would like to enter the contest for that, all you have to do is drop us an email at wcri@classical959.com, and Tim has been gracious enough to give us a copy of the book autographed, and we'll throw all the names in a hat and pick out some winners. All right, we want to thank you, Tim, for coming in, and it's been great, and we look forward to hopefully seeing you again, and then, you know, after a couple more of these shows, we'll have the whole book done.
That's right. We'll just do the transcript, and there you go.
Well, since we were just talking about the World War II effort for Rhode Island, that kind of left us in a little bit of a patriotic mood, so my segue here is to try to tie into a group that is not in Tim's book, but he says probably should have been. This is the American Band, directed by Dr. Gene Pollitt. And as I recall, the American Band is one of the oldest in operating in the country. And so we're fortunate to have them within the realm of Rhode Island. And what better way to close our show than with the American Band playing Stars and Stripes Forever. Thanks again, Tim.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Good night, everyone. We'll see you next week on Conducting Conversations. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.